Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today as we face the issues. It's always our delight to have you come on board. We're looking forward to dialogue and discussion with you today as we face the issues. We're talking about freedom is just a carrot to control us. Freedom is just a carrot to control us. And may I simply say that is a quote from Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. He says, a shocking admission recently occurred on live television that freedom is simply a carrot to force everyone to receive COVID injections, end quote. We'll be talking about that on the broadcast today as we interview a physician a little later on this broadcast as we're asking questions and answering those questions in relationship to COVID and the COVID vaccination, the COVID pass that they're wanting to introduce for all Americans as they're doing in some nations around the world. But the question is, will we be in that position to do so? Will Americans accept the COVID pass and the COVID vaccination? I'm looking at an article that says stunning numbers of voters favor vaccination passports. Fewer than half likely voters favor a vaccination passport that would also allow a person to travel, shop, attend events, and interact with others. According to the Rasmussen National Survey, found that 44% say required proof of COVID-19 vaccination to return to pre-pandemic activities is a good idea. And then another article, portion of that article, it says in the article, only 41% say it is a bad idea. 15% say they aren't sure. And the poll was conducted March 30th and 31st. Among those who say that they already have been vaccinated, the support of the requirement was as high as 62%. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, those that have already been vaccinated feel that it's a good idea for everyone to be vaccinated and to have a COVID pass. We'll be talking about that today on this broadcast. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904, if you're out of the area code, 904-831. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I call it the truth book because Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to direct our footsteps and ought to mandate our modus operandi, our motive, and the way we carry out life. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell back in, I believe it was 1947-48, that he wrote that dystopian novel entitled 1984. And he gave a lot of projections as to what America would be like in 1984. He was about 80% right, but his date was off. It's 2020 and 2021. We're finding these things coming to pass. But it was in that novel that George Orwell, the secularist, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're certainly finding that to be true today in society. If you don't believe that, just go through what's being said with Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and AOC, and Joe Biden and his entire staff, especially just tune in to the Communist Network News and listen to Jan Psaki and what Psyche, and she, Psyche, Psyche, and see what she says in relationship to truth.
The circle, truth. The circle back girl.
Circle back,
circle
girl.
Back to everything. Exactly, yeah. It.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have with me on the set today, Greg Youngblood, one of our sons, will be interviewing a physician, a 30-year board-certified physician, in just a moment. As we talk about these very serious medical issues, I believe it would be edifying for us and informative and beneficial for us to understand from a physician standpoint as to really what we see taking place in America.
The set sounds different today.
Set sounds different. The reason the set sounds different, Greg, for the benefit of our listeners, Greg always says when he joins me on the dialogue and discussion on the radio broadcast that he's tuned in from the southern tip of heaven. Well, I'm at the southern tip of heaven with Greg today, up high in the mountains in Tennessee.
You are broadcasting live from the Great Smoky Mountains, the southern tip of heaven, the Houston Valley. This is God's country up here, folks. When you look at the satellite imagery of the mountains, many times you see it looks like fingerprints. And I say, folks, that's the fingerprints of God right there.
Amen. The sun shines beautiful. Look out over the mountaintops. And I am thankful to be here, and I'm thankful to have you joining us today. But as we talk about truth, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, it's 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that says, faithful Christian, seek the truth, to listen to the truth, to learn the truth, to love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's the way it ought to be in our lives each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the generator backup equipment with Honda. Tools for Time has a staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment as well as lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. It's where the gigantic American flag is flowing. Find that flagpole, 165-foot flagpole flowing at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the statement that I made, freedom is a carrot to control us. I find it a fascinating statement made by a constitutional attorney, Matt Staver, that says that's what he had heard in one statement on a television program. Further, he said, we have consistently warned you about tracking and tracing and health care passports since this time last year, Matt Staver says. Now, multiple governments and industries are pushing for the digital passports. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a federal government at the federal government level now. They're ultimately going to require us to have some kind of COVID passport to travel, to cross state lines, to enter into a state or federal building, to buy, sell, trade, shop, go to school, go to college, get medical care, et cetera, et cetera. And, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this now for about a year and a half. I've been talking about this on a consistent basis. And we're finding it come to pass, just as I've said, that we're going to be faced with a decision. Do we have the injection of an experimental drug that we do not know now, nor do we know in the future all the extended conditions that our life and health may be in as a relationship to that COVID injection. But yet that's being pushed today. And it reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, from a biblical prophetic standpoint of what's found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. There's coming a day after the rapture of the church, during the course of the 7 years of tribulation with the Antichrist, the one the Bible calls the lawless one, the man of sin, that will rule and reign with an iron fist over the whole globe. And it will come in that time when everybody's going to have some identification mark to identify with Antichrist. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching the precursor of that take place today, where the injection, some say, well, that's just conspiracy theory. No, it's not. We're watching the fast track today, ladies and gentlemen. Never in the history of our nation have we seen, in fact, I would say, great, never in the history of the world have we seen it be on the fast track as it is today, getting to the point where we're more and more controlled by the state and federal government than I've ever seen in anything in history past. In fact, I find it sad that so many people, as the article I referred to earlier, so many people are saying that they favor the vaccine passport. And most of that's coming from the millennial 18 to 80, 35-year-old age group. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful of what's going to take place, not just now, but in the future, with our safety and our security and our freedom in America. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a coordinated plan to force everyone to take the dangerous experimental COVID vaccination. One of the things that I believe is to absolutely start bringing about a shame and a division with those that refuse to take the, those that say that they're the no vaxxers and the no maskers. There's a push now to shame them for not doing so.
You're already been demonized. You must be listening to Fox News. You must be a right-wing radical. You've got to be out there. You're already being demonized and dehumanized within those public platforms. I'm sorry, those fake news outfits like CNN and MSNBC. I'll tell you what, he got it right. Trump, with the 4 years of calling it fake news, he hit the nail on the head. And Project Veritas has just come out with their CNN exposure of propaganda, fake news, their entire target, according to those folks talking with the Project Veritas crew, undercover video. That's that their entire intent was to remove Trump from office. It didn't matter. Basically, that was the objective. So the news didn't matter. The fake stories didn't matter so long as they could remove Trump from
That's
office.
Exactly it. We've seen that take place with the coup to overthrow our constitutional republic. And part of that now, after that's been done, part of that is to control all of Americans. Greg, I'm going to touch on this brief article, and then we're going to introduce our guest today. Here's an article that says Zuckerberg announces plans for Facebook to label and shame users, that is users of Facebook, who do not get the COVID vaccine.
Hold on a second. You know, 42 U.S.C. subsection 1320 D6 actually prohibits, it says there's an offense if a person knowingly is in violation of using or causing to be used a person's unique health identifier, or they obtain individually identifiable health information related to an individual, or disclose individually identifiable health information to another person. It seems like they might have a problem.
They've got a problem, but one of the things, Greg, we see is on all of the social media platforms, we're finding today more and more control of society in general. In fact, this article goes on, since published about 20 hours ago. It says, in a post on his platform, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg officially noted his company's immediate plans to visually segregate the vaccinated from the non-vaccinated on his platform. He hopes, according to the message, if you read between the lines, and those who get vaccinated will visually shame those who do not, and vice versa. Now, this article says everyone can make a snap judgment about the worthiness, this article says, of their friends and their families and all other human beings based upon a shallow virtue signaling profile picture frame.
Do you think Zuckerberg's gotten this this experimental vaccine?
Personally, I doubt it.
You think Bill Gates has gotten any one of these?
No, and I question whether or not Joe Biden yet.
I kind of wonder about these things.
But the article here says, Greg, if you're going to stop COVID, we need everyone who's eligible to get vaccinated. People are more likely to get vaccinated if they see friends and family and people they trust doing it also. So we're launching our new COVID vaccine profile frame that you can add to your profile and your picture, partnering with the CDC and the U.S. Health Department of Human Services to launch new COVID vaccine profile frames. It lets you easily show your support and tell people that you've been vaccinated, and you'll show, and it will show you in your new feed, it'll show your friends who you are and that you've put up your profile frame.
We're not gonna force you. We're just gonna nudge you, and if nudging you doesn't work, we'll ostracize you. We'll create little pressure points.
Kind of a footnote in the article, Greg, says Facebook likely knows this, yet will proceed with the divisiveness and the maneuver meant to highlight good vaccinated people versus bad unvaccinated people.
No, that can't be true. Donald Trump's supposed to be the divisive one.
That's the vaccine.
Zuckerberg's a uniter. With CNN, he's a uniter, isn't he?
He's supposed to be, but you know how that goes. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today, and I'm delighted to introduce him to our audience. We've had the interview with him before, Dr. Steve Grable. Dr. Grable is a 30-year board-certified physician. Dr. Grable has dealt with some of these issues, and Dr. Grable is with us today, and I'm thankful that he is with us to discuss this. Dr. Grable, Thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues. I'm looking forward to our dialogue and discussion with you. And let me remind our listening audience that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. And I'd love to see you jump in, ladies and gentlemen, and ask our physician the questions in relationship to what you think, what your questions are about the COVID vaccination. Dr. Grable, delighted to have you with us today.
Good to see you, Doc. Good to talk with you.
I'm thankful to have you with us. And let me do this, if you don't mind. Some of our listeners have heard our conversation and dialogue and discussion before. Some of our listeners were at the seminar that you put on our campus talking about the vaccinations and the masking and what that connotes and what it does to the health. So that our listeners will understand your credentials and your background, would you take a few moments just to give a little update on your background, credentials, your experience as to what you find, and then we'll have further discussion as to this vaccination and what it is.
Sure. Well, I've been in practice for 30 years. I've been boarded 3 times in internal medicine. I did 5 years of conventional where I had a hospital practice, and I felt that throwing drugs at everything wasn't the answer. So for the last 25 years, I've been practicing what's been called functional medicine, where doctors like me try to figure out what makes patients tick and to try to help them get better with natural means. And if necessary, we can go to medication. Now, regarding COVID, for at least 15 months now, I have been recommending doses of vitamins A, C, D, and zinc. And I also have 4 medicines I use when needed. And that's resulted in the treatment of roughly 25 people, all who are home and doing fine. And I've seen some interesting things come out this weekend. I sent you a couple of documents, which we can touch on a little bit. But this scamdemic or plandemic, as they call it, it's basically a cold virus, which has been way, way overblown.
Absolutely. When you make that statement, Doctor, I'm looking at an article that says more deaths, colon. States must stop their vaccine program. The article is dated March the 22nd of this year. And it says in this article in part, it says, well, when you've now been vaccinated, 41 million Americans are bound to be a small number of collateral damage. What else can one expect from an experimental drug? On March 5th, 2021, experimental COVID mRNA shots from Moderna and Pfizer, 1,524 deaths, 31,000 adverse effects, 31,079, which represents an increase of 259 deaths in 8 days, an additional 5,864 adverse events, 630 permanent disabilities, 3,477 hospitalizations, 806 visits to the ER. Then on March the 11th, posting by Verus, as you can see in this, and they give the further stats, it says 1,739 deaths, 38,444 recorded adverse events, 6,716 emergency visits to the emergency room, 734 permanent disabilities, 3,976 hospitalizations. Doctor, the question that I ask, and without going in further with the stats on that, is this normal for any type of physician's treatment or a drug or a medicine that's supposed to be efficacious? Are these astronomically ever daily increasing numbers of sicknesses, blood clots, deaths, should we consider that as normal?
Well, I know, Doc, that's somewhat of a rhetorical question. I mean, it's truly amazing. If you looked at any drug or any product or service on the market, if it had those kind of side effect and death rates, it would be yanked yesterday. So, unfortunately, we've got a mainstream media and social media who squelches and will not report this data out to people. And most people are unaware of a few basic facts. One, I think, that's really fascinating about these so-called vaccines, which they're really not vaccines, they're really experimental gene therapies, is that they've never been proven to prevent you from contracting COVID. They have not been proven to prevent you spreading COVID. All they've done is in a very small number of people have reduced or supposedly reduced the symptoms of COVID. And the thing that we worry about is that this is an experimental therapy. It has not been approved by, it's not been approved by the FDA. And I have heard, although I have not deep dived this concept, but I have heard from some sources that if you die from the COVID vaccine, that negates your life insurance, which I find interesting.
It is interesting. In fact, it's frightening to think about that as a potentiality.
Well, the question is, do you think they would ever admit that that's what you died from? Obviously, we have the issue. Something was posted the other day as to the number of dozens of folks that have had, young ladies that have had miscarriages that are supposedly related to. However, I presume that they will probably not admit that, at least not in our lifetimes. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, perhaps they'll look back and retrospectively say, oh, yeah, apparently these were all related to the quote, quote, vaccine experimental. And your reference to it as experimental, isn't it true that the average drug from conception to market is like a 10 or 12 year process? Isn't that what we, and you end up with studies that involve tens of thousands in the study, or at least many thousands in the studies that are long term? Isn't that the kind of the normal thing that we see, 2, 3, 4 years of testing before something gets released into the marketplace?
That's correct. Vaccines typically about 8 years. Only about 6% of those ever make it to market. And
what are the odds that we would have, what is it, four? Is it 3 or 4 on the market right now? Well, they pulled Johnson & Johnson temporarily, they're saying. Is it 4 before that, and now it's 3? What are the odds that we would have 3 or 4 successful, actually successful experimental products that come out under the vaccine branding at the same time, within days apart of one another? What are the odds of that? I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, if you have a corrupt system, the odds are very good.
That's right.
You know, wow. they bypass the animal studies, which is unheard of.
It's unheard of.
And the reason they did that is they will... They will argue.
Doctor, if I could ask a question, because I do not have the article before me, but one of the articles I had researched on very recently, and you talked about bypassing the animal studies, they had, I'm pretty certain it was with Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, they had not tested on a long term, but they had tried this on rats. And in every case, the rat died violently.
I read a story like that. I'm not sure if it was this one of these. Was it one of these products?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Have you heard anything on that, Doc?
Well, they've done, you know, they've tried to do mRNA studies previously, and it's ended in disastrous results.
Perhaps.
In fact, you know, different studies. They did a study on ferrets, and all the ferrets died. You know, if you listen to virologists, many of them are expressing extreme concern about all this stuff. But they're afraid to come forward because, you see, the federal government and guys like Fauci controls something like $5 billion worth of research. And if you're one of these whistleblowers like Bosche, B-O-S-S-C-H-E, these kind of people will wind up not getting any funding in the future for their research. So this results in virologists and researchers keeping their mouths shut when they fully see what's going on. And
in other words, in this, it goes back to the MONEY factor.
Follow the money, you'll find the truth, oftentimes.
Dr. Grable, tell us briefly your thoughts. You know, they just recently halted the Johnson & Johnson, and Dr. Fauci said it was they were going to halt it, and it would just be for a few days. And he then paused and said, not for weeks, but just a few days until we can get to the bottom of this. Tell our listeners what you think has happened, because is it possible that vaccine that supposedly is efficacious for the general public, for a vaccine to be halted, if out of millions, I believe there's something like 47 million, or with Johnson & Johnson, 7 million that had been vaccinated and had six that had blood clots, would they have stopped a total program if that were really, truly the numbers?
Well, yes. In general, in your studies, if you have, for example, two neurologic events, usually that will put the kibosh on a vaccine in the pipeline. Now, I have an interesting take on the J&J vaccine. Certainly, six deaths from thrombosis is six deaths too many. But I believe that there's a lot more behind this story.
Yes.
If you look at Fauci has his fingers in the Moderna pie, and Bill Gates has his fingers in the Pfizer pie. And it wouldn't surprise me that they were looking for a reason to go after J&J. There have been plenty of cases. We're now, I think, at probably close to 2,500 or more deaths from Pfizer and Moderna, and over 50,000 reported side effects. And we know that that's roughly 10% of the actual. So there's abundant evidence that these other vaccines are killing people quite a bit. But the government has not clamped down on them like they've done with Johnson & Johnson. I think all three of them should be scrapped, in my opinion. But, yes, I mean, all of this is just horrendous. And the average person is clueless as to what's going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Steve Grable. Dr. Grable is a 30-year board-certified physician. We're talking about today the vaccines, the COVID vaccines, and whether it's efficacious or recommended for it to be injected in the arms, as the medical community is now calling it, take the jab, as they're calling it. Dr. Grable, I know AstraZeneca and all of Europe has been stopped after, I think it was up into the hundreds of thousands of injuries and problems as a result of it, and thousands of deaths. Do you think there's the potentiality of this being much broader with the difficulties and the horrible results of stillbirths, as some have found with those that had been expecting, those pregnant that had taken the vaccination, and then stillbirths? And the blood clots, the paralyzation, other side effects. Do you think that will ultimately be what we find with these, not just AstraZeneca, but also with J&J and with Pfizer and Moderna? Explain your thoughts on that to our listeners today as to why you are concerned about it and what you see taking place and what could be the long-term implications of these vaccinations.
Well, if you listen to Judy Mikovits, who is a very brilliant virologist, I've read all three of her books, she said a year ago that she believed these vaccines were going to kill millions. If you listen to Boschi, B-O-S-S-C-H-E, a European virologist, who incidentally is a pro-vaccine guy, he says, number one, it's virology 101, you never vaccinate during a pandemic. Which I think is a very interesting statement for him to make. Mm-hmm. If you don't have an immediate reaction to the vaccine, there's two things that scare me. One is called antibody-dependent enhancement or pathogenic priming. And there's a wonderful video with Del Bigtree where he uses a football analogy to try to help people to understand what this means. But basically, the concern is that you get this so-called vaccine, which your body then will produce an abundant amount of antibodies to a particular strain of coronavirus. And there's no shutoff mechanism because they put the messenger RNA in a protective capsule that we may continue to make antibodies for days, weeks, months, nobody knows. Well, down the road, when that patient is exposed to what's called wild-type coronavirus, which is going to happen inevitably, the body can overreact causing severe cytokine storm, immune reactions, and even death. To add to that, Harvard and MIT virologists are theorizing that despite the CDC's suggestion that the messenger RNA does not get incorporated into the DNA, they said no. In nature, we know this happens. 40% of our genome occurs because of reverse transcriptases. So people are afraid that these snippets that they're injecting into people are going to be incorporated into your DNA.
Dr. Grable, hold your thought there just one moment.